The stock market took a sharp downward turn today following news that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russians, and that a very senior official in the Trump transition team directed him to make contacts with the Russians last year. Stocks also saw big losses yesterday, especially technology industry banks, after Republicans said they might delay their proposed corporate tax cut until 2019, after a Joint Committee on Taxation report showed the Senate plan would balloon the deficit by $1 trillion. But stocks have been flying high all year. Earlier this week, the Dow broke another record, soaring past 24,000. Robin Farzad is host of Full Disclosure on NPR One. He joins us now. Hi, Robin.
Robin, how are you?
Fine. So the stock market keeps setting records, and it did well during the Obama administration. But how much of this current rally all year long has at least partly been because businesses have expected tax cuts from Washington?
It's like you're asking a meaning of life question of an underpaid, schlumpy journalist. I wish I knew. You know, we sit around the market wonks on Twitter and Wall Street Research reports. We're trying to say, is this the Fed kind of with its hands tied? Is it the expectation of trillions of dollars of cash overseas being brought home through a tax holiday? Is it just one of those moments where nothing else is going on, or people are bored, or it's complacent? It's probably a combination of all the above.
Well, we have to say, because we've talked about this in the, you know, in the program today, this idea of a tax holiday, George W. Bush had one, or this idea of an amnesty, which Obama tried, this idea that all this money that corporations are stashing overseas because they don't want it taxed at the very high rate American corporations pay, the idea you could give them amnesty, they'd bring it back. It didn't work in the past. So, you know, some people are questioning that, whether or not that might even work. But how much does the, you know, the soaring stock market have to do with the economy doing so well? How much does the economy, you know, where's the chicken and the egg?
You have full employment. You have subdued inflation. You have corporate profits that are still gurgling along. And then there's this kind of this icing on the cake idea that if you have a company like Apple, by the way, disclosure, I own the shares, sitting on like something $260, $270 billion of cash that's frozen overseas. Imagine if they do get this holiday, this exemption, and they come home with a fat dividend or a special buyback. There might be another leg up in the market. But certainly there are moving parts here. You started at the top talking about Michael Flynn. I mean, if this rot goes up to the White House, if the GOP can't get this done and shipped out and ratified in time, then a lot of the market's upswing was kind of contingent on something that might not happen.
Well, Robin, I want to ask you about that, because you said, yeah, Apple has all this money stashed overseas. The idea is if these rates are really lowered, they would bring the money back because they'd pay less tax on it, or maybe even get some holiday where they pay practically nothing just to get the money back. But again, these studies that we've looked at showed that in the past, if they have brought any money back at all, they do put it right into stocks and dividends for shareholders, but that doesn't, you know, increase wages or create jobs.
Yeah, but let's look at it selfishly as stock owners right now. And these are the people looking at Dow 24,000 or whatever the heck it is. I lost track. If you're going to get a refund, if you're going to get paid, then, you know, talk the trickle down talk. Like, I'm sure at some point, in theory, these companies are going to increase payrolls. But for the time being, it's all been dividends and buybacks, and shareholders and speculators are just fine for that. I mean, you have to save the sociological, kind of the normative discussion for something else, which I think is so important.
Yeah. Hey, so what should people do as they're watching the stock market react to the current news, both yesterday and today? I mean,
I don't know what happens. Like, if you see a Bloomberg story that says Goldman Sachs says its stocks are more expensive than they've been in however many decades, what the heck are you supposed to do? Because at the same time, even in Finance 102, they taught us you can't possibly time the market. I could have told you the market was expensive last year or the year before. I could have told you we're in a bond bubble. I told you the easy money has been made. All of the different aphorisms that are thrown out by market watchers. And had you timed the market, had you thought you were smarter than anyone else, you would have given up on, what is it, 15% upside this year. So it is painfully difficult, especially with cash paying nothing. If you think you can sell everything and park it in something, you're getting nothing, and the opportunity cost is twice as painful.
Yeah. And by the way, we're always told, do nothing. You know, just let your managers or your portfolio or your pension plan handle it and close your eyes, because what goes down must come up. But what about interest rates? Low for so long intends to encourage investing in the stock market. What's the sense of what might happen there?
Do you remember? I swear at the turn of the century, Robin, there was like an ING Direct postcard I have somewhere in New York that says 6% for super saver money market rate. Can you imagine that now? I mean, we've had abnormally low emergency interest rates for the longest time that I think people forget that things can go up. But that's been like, you know, crying wolf every year. To begin every year, they say, oh, the Fed's going to take up interest rates. There's going to be a bloodbath in the stock market and the bond market. And that just breeds ever more complacency. And right now we're looking at such subdued volatility. If there was a metric for complacency, I'm sure it would be off the charts right now. And there isn't an easy answer. It's not like I can tell you to, you know, take it to your savings and loan and put it in a big CD and get a toaster.
But you do it with such a nice way about you. Robin Farzad, host of Full Disclosure on NPR One. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.